And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got some callers on the line. We'll see which one comes up first. I tell you what, Big Rig, give me one of them. Listen, I either got Rick or Alan. Which one have I got here? Hey, this is Phil. Who's this? Hello? I got nothing. All right, let me see. Hello, got somebody on the line?
It's Rick.
Hey, Rick, how are you doing? All right, Rick, you got to turn off your radio there, buddy.
My radio's off.
Okay, what you got?
I called in, was on hold, and talked about the cruise with Phil.
Yeah, well, this is Phil. You're on the air right now, man. What's going on?
Okay, sorry. I got cut off. I was on a cruise last week for a chance. Did a last-minute deal. And our first stop was Fort Lauderdale or Key West, and had to show driver's license and the cruise card to get on and off.
In Key West, in the United States.
Yeah, in Key West. Then we went to Belize, Cozumel, and Grand Cayman. All we had to do, have our cruise card to get off the boat and back on. Nobody asked for a diddly squat.
No kidding. That's unbelievable.
And it's been, it's been pre-COVID, probably 4 or 5 years since I've been on a cruise. And, every port you went to had to have your passport.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
Wow. What, are we now part of the European Union? Is that we just going to cross borders whenever we feel like it, or what?
I think it's called the North American Union.
I don't remember signing up for that, but okay.
I didn't either, but that's, they didn't. My wife and I, we took passports like we normally would, and nobody wanted to even look at them. Nobody stamped anything. Nobody did squat.
No kidding, man. That is crazy, especially everything everything I described in mine was just like, it was like jumping through all kinds of hoops and, hairs on fire and finally got it done. But, well, Rick, I hope the cruise was good, though.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Like I said, tough having to come back to the real world.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And I know Alan from Hartsell was on the line earlier, so if he wants to call back, he can try it. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Is Alan on the line now? Let me go ahead and try that. Alan, you there? No, I got no Alan. Alan, are you there? No. All right, listen, I'm going to take some text here. I got Frank from Huntsville says, I'm reading that AOC is catching a lot of slack because people in her district don't feel safe because of all the immigrants. Well, they shouldn't feel safe. I mean, why would they? I'll just be honest with you. There's no reason for them to feel safe.
I did.
And then John from Huntsville texts in. He says, Aloha, Phil. I think I'm going to cook up some Hawaiian taco. See, we can do tacos of all kinds. We got ramen tacos now. And I got caught up in phone call issues. The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. We'll talk about it more after the break, because I think we're about to hit the bottom of the hour break. But man, this is a major, major hairy deal. This bridge is almost 1,000 feet long. It is absolutely a key piece of infrastructure for the Baltimore area. Something like 35,000 commuters a day go across that bridge. And if you haven't seen the video, it is remarkable. A giant container ship. That the breaking news was really that we're finding now that the container ship lost power and could not had no steerage and could not stop its forward momentum, slammed into the bridge abutments, and the whole thing collapsed. Right now there are still 6 people missing from that bridge collapse. More on this and all that triple dipper stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We're going to get out of here in one piece.
Or
we spent the day, came back down, got on a ship that night, and we continued on our cruise. But other countries, they don't play. They do not play.
No.
You better have all your paperwork in a row.
No, you're right. Even Canada, like our friendly neighbor to the north, right? But let me ask you this, Alan. Is it possible? Is it possible that they didn't isolate the Middle Eastern folks and they actually isolated you Alabama folks in another car? Maybe that's what it was.
It may have happened that way, but like I said, there was probably 30 to 40 people in our car and there was none of them Middle Eastern folks. I thought,
They put all the shady right side ruffians from Alabama in a car by themselves. That's what it was.
I guess that was a problem. We just didn't look right.
All right, man. Hey,
thanks. It's a great vacation. We spent 11 days on that cruise.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I won't ever forget it.
Well, good on you. I'm glad it worked out. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you calling back in.
Okay, now have a big day.
All right, take care. Three texts for I'm gonna wind up taking this whole segment here. Specialist Edwards, by the way, from Madison says Hawaiian taco is spam and pineapple. Dude,
that sounds disgusting.
are you not a spam fan?
I do like spam, actually.
Spam is good for you.
It is it?
Yeah, you know they you have to capture a wild spam, you know, and then have them, you know, prepared just right. Huh. Wild little furry spams. I don't know what they really are.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, you're joking. I thought you were being serious.
You're looking at me like
exotic
animal that I've never heard of before. No, there is no spam animal out there.
I love those ingredients separately, but together they sound
spam and pineapple. Thomas from Athens says, Colonel Williams, great monologue, lived in Hawaii for years. Their taco is mighty fine. It's called the Lau Lau, I guess. Oh, pronounced Lolo. Yeah, pronounced like, a Lau. Okay, hang on. Let me start over again. He gave me the pronunciation in parentheses. Colonel Williams, great monologue. I lived in Hawaii for years. Their taco was mighty fine, called the Lau Lau, which is like steamed taro or collard greens, leaf wrapping up protein, barbecue pork and or fish and or chicken, then steamed. Aloha.
That actually sounds good.
You like that better, spam and pineapple?
I mean,
you don't know what's good.
I mean, I eat banana sandwiches with mayonnaise. So.
Well, see, that's okay. That's a sin.
Oh, no.
There's something in the Book of Phil about not eating that. I've seen it.
I guarantee you there's other people out there that eat that.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. My dad put mayonnaise on a peanut butter and banana sandwich, and I just thought it was awful. It was nasty. You don't salt your watermelon, do you?
No.
Okay. We're, you're all right. You can stay. You don't put sugar on your grits, do you?
Never.
Okay. All right. Butter and salt on grits, no mayonnaise on a peanut butter banana sandwich. And oh, by the way, if you're going to have watermelon, you don't salt it. Just so long as we all understand that. Jimmy from Somerville says 10-4. Thank you, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. You responded to another text from me. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought he was just agreeing with me about the mayonnaise. Or then maybe he was. All right, listen, we're going to do national insecurity. So here's the first dipper. Oh, gosh. Allie from Athens is texting in. I got to see this. This is what happens when we talk about food. Yeah. Allie from Athens says, Colonel, my father ate so much spam when he served in World War II that it was not a part of our household. I have never ceased to be thankful because in my mind, it ain't food. Listen, it's goodness.
And it's mystery meat.
It lasts forever. When the zombie apocalypse comes, you're going to wish you had cans of spam on the shelf.
You almost had me fooled that it was an animal.
Oh, all right. Listen. All right. Let's get back to business. We got things to do. This is important stuff. National insecurity. So, all right, here's the thing. I did that monologue because it segues into what I'm going to talk about. In fact, you know what? I'm going to tease this story that I'll get into momentarily, probably after the next break. But the Mexican government is actually making demands. Yes, the Mexican government is actually making demands of the U.S. right now. They got some nerve. The Mexican government saying. They won't bother to help with cross-border migration unless we do certain things they want. Who do they think they are? And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still of the mind that the Trump administration comes in next year. They need to tell Mexico, look, here's how it is. You guys either square away your act down there and stop the flow of migrants, and oh, by the way, stop the flow of fentanyl, or we're gonna find our favorite drug lab, and we're going to put a Tomahawk cruise missile right in the middle of it. And you guys are going to deal with the aftermath. Yeah, that's where we are. Mexico, they want all the border trade. They want all the money that repatriates back into their economy from folks who are living here that keep wiring money back home. They want all of that. Okay. They just don't want any of the responsibility that comes with being a good neighbor. But that being said, there's a lot of things happening in the world right now. Things that create what I would call a national insecurity, and they go directly back to the fact that Biden is the president. We did not see attacks on the U.S. like we're seeing now. We did not see governments falling like we do right now. We did not see terror cells suddenly arising after, oh, by the way, being taken off the terror watch list by the Biden administration. like we see now compared to where Trump was. And let me tell you why what just happened in Moscow matters to you here in the United States. So if you're not familiar, Moscow just went through a massive terror attack. I don't think Americans are really paying attention to this because they see it as like, oh, it's Moscow. It's, you know, it's Russia. It's that place that we're already mad at anyway. ISIS-K has claimed responsibility. Why does that matter to us? Well, ISIS-K made its way into Moscow, a far more closed society than we have here, and killed 137 people at a concert with grenades and small arms fire. Went into a massive theater where they were there for a concert and began throwing grenades and shooting people wantonly. Like I said, Islamic State, this form, this variant of the Islamic State, calls itself ISIS-K, is claiming responsibility. Now, Russia is still trying to blame Ukraine, but right now we are seeing responsibility being claimed by ISIS-K. Why does that matter? Well, ISIS-K, which stands for the Khorasan province, which is a province in the region of Afghanistan and Pakistan's border, ISIS-K wants to form what it calls an Islamic caliphate. A physical caliphate. That means they want to seize ground. They want ground of their own. They want to seize it, and they want to create a fundamentalist society based upon their version of Sharia law. And all that to say, the fact that they got into Moscow and did this attack is very telling. Intel officials are saying right now, and I pulled this sourcing off of military.com, that following the withdrawal of Afghanistan from Afghanistan in 2021, ISIS-K's objectives have been to now try to extinguish the Taliban's legitimacy. The Taliban. Like all of a sudden we're sympathetic to the Taliban? Not really. But what I'm saying is this. ISIS-K has now been given a vacuum to fill because all the extremist groups that were running around in the fringes of Afghanistan and Pakistan see ISIS-K as the new boss. The Taliban's busy trying to sort of run a country, sort of. And so the ISIS-K group has now reared its ugly head. It doesn't like Russia any more than it likes the United States. Why? Because Russia befriends some of its enemies. Russia also props up, you know, regions like Syria, and they're already at odds with Iran because Iran is a different form of fundamentalist Islam. And Russia has been cooperating with the Taliban. So now you have a terrorist attack on Russian soil, in Moscow, no less. 137 dead. What it also stands to mean is that ISIS-K has decided to become global in its reach. They are not just content to sit on Afghan soil and foment discord at home. They want to be seen as a player. And so they went to one of what is still one of the largest and most dictatorial societies in the world. And they killed 137 people in one afternoon. When you have a group that has a space in which to live, where the United States has already pulled out and lost all of its human intelligence capabilities, ISIS-K, then wanting to become more global in its reach, goes all the way to Moscow and commits a terrorist act, then you have to know for a fact that we are on the chopping block. And I say that because we are. I say that because our southern border is what it is. I say that because ISIS hates us as much, if not more, than it does Russia. Russia was where it went first. The question becomes now, who has already come across our southern border? I've got a piece here from the Daily Signal that I'll cover right before the break here. The Islamic extremist group ISIS took responsibility for a terrorist attack in Russia. The deadly incident is one of the United States should take extremely seriously, according to national expert, security expert Robert Greenway, who used to serve on the National Security Council. He's now with the Center for National Defense at the Heritage Foundation. He said the level of threat to the United States from terrorist attacks has not been at this level that it is right now for decades. The U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan provided ISIS with the opportunity to regain strength. They got to exploit $83 billion worth of equipment and infrastructure that we left behind. And America's open borders constitute a grave, grave threat. Now listen, I got some thoughts on this, all right? And I got some things that will add to the fray. We're going to talk about it when we get back. But yeah, we are in a place right now where I would say national insecurity is the norm, and it shouldn't be. And it's going to take citizens, by the way, citizens keeping their game face on, in my opinion, because the government has got its attention on God knows what else. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Okay, we have opened Pandora's box on the mayonnaise on the peanut butter banana sandwich. I'm just saying. Steve from Owens Crossroads says, peanut butter, mayonnaise, and banana is fine dining, sir. Steve, I cannot abide by it.
I can't either, actually, because I said banana and mayonnaise, not peanut butter.
You just do mayonnaise and bananas?
Yeah, on bread, yeah.
I don't think we can work together anymore. I find that revolting.
But I do the peanut butter and banana sandwich, too.
So, but you don't do all three?
No, I don't do all three. That's
peanut butter and banana, period. No mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. Mayonnaise and banana, bad. Mm-hmm. Peanut butter, mayonnaise and banana, also bad.
I'm a very picky eater.
Oh, yep. My gosh. Yeah. All right. Jeff from Indiana says, I thought you were a Southern boy. You don't salt your watermelon? No, I do not. That is not normal. Monty from Huntsville says, cans of Spam are found right next to cans of Snipe. Let's go snipe hunting. John from Harvest says, I hate to say it, but due to the abdication of this administration on the border, an October 7th style attack in the United States is likely. We all need to stay situationally aware. Okay, John, I'm going to read your text again slower and go to this next article because you just gave me the perfect segue. John from Harvest just said, stay with me now, national insecurity, that's where we are on the triple dipper. John from Harvest, I quote, he says, I hate to say it, but due to the abdication of this administration on the border, an October 7th, that's the attack from Israel, an October 7th style attack in the United States is likely, and we all need to stay situationally aware. You need to not have your head buried in a cell phone or a smartphone when you're walking across the Walmart parking lot. You need to step outside the store and glance both ways, not just for cars, but for bad guys when you come out of the theater. You need to know who's on your left and your right at all times, and do not take for granted that when you walk into a dark parking lot that there's not somebody notionally in that parking lot ready to do something. Staying situated, keeping your head on a swivel is just good smarts. My kids went off to college. They got that talk from me. You know, it's not like I was trying to scare them. There's boogeymen everywhere. It wasn't like that. There's a vast difference, though, in being the sheep who has its head down all the time trying to munch the grass and the shepherds having to watch out for them, or being the sheepdog who's watching out for the wolves. And so I taught my kids to be sheepdogs. And I'm going to tell you right now, we need a nation full of sheepdogs. We absolutely need a large number of American citizens who are fully and completely situationally aware, heads on a swivel, not living in fear. Go about your lives. Do the things you got to do. Work and play and love and go to church and do all the stuff. But do not be caught with your head down, unawares of what's going on around you. And do not take for granted the amount of social security that we have in this nation. Piece I've got here from PJ Media, and it's an opinion piece, but I thought it was well written. It's by a guy named Robert Spencer. It came out yesterday. The title of it is, Are You Ready for a Major Jihad Attack in the U.S.? Because it's coming. And he goes on to basically say, if the border were to magically reappear tomorrow, like all of a sudden they close the border, things got secure at the border, it does not mean that millions of people already here couldn't do something. He says 169 people on the FBI's terror watch list were caught at the border in 2023. It only took four, by the way, in Moscow to kill 137 people. It only took about a dozen to commit the acts of 9/11. It only took about, you know, that many also to do the World Trade Center bombing, the one that didn't bring it down but caused a great deal of, you know, issues several years prior to 9/11. He says, four jihadis just murdered at least 137 people in Moscow. And just last week, all of America's many intelligence agencies received instructions, though, to avoid using terms like jihadist, to avoid committing the cardinal sin of what it called Islamophobia. Jihadists can quote the Quran and invoke Islamic teaching all day long, but our intel and law enforcement agencies are not allowed to even notice or study their motives and goals. It might lead them into some kind of mean examination of Islam. The people whose job to protect us from these jihadi terrorists are bound up as a matter of government policy to not be able to know or understand the motives and goals of the terrorists who they're trying to foil. That's a bit of an overstatement, but it's still true. What it's saying there is that our law enforcement, our intel community, our military, all of our first responders are so wrapped up in policies and procedures and minutiae that are more on the rank of what I call first world problems, that they're not able to truly hone in and focus the way we need them to. And so his article goes on to say, we need Americans to rediscover our own spiritual wellsprings. We need Americans to discover our own ability to keep our heads on a swivel. We need to make sure that we as alert citizens who, by the way, foiled the shoe bomber and the underwear bomber in the wake of 9/11 because they were paying attention, Americans need to be likewise alert and aware and able to take lawful steps to stop jihadis in their tracks. What he's basically doing is telling us as Americans that national insecurity, it may be something that the Biden administration is not good at. We need to accept that and be prepared to try to fill those gaps as best we can, because that's where we are. And I agree with it. I think that the fact is that we have no idea who's come across our country in the 9 million or so who crossed our borders in the Biden's era in just 3 years. But I do know this. This is still America. And this is a country where people pay attention. We can get something done. More on this, national insecurity. I'll tell you about Mexico next. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. And we're doing a mixed bag here. We're doing everything from national insecurity to peanut butter sandwiches. So let me get a few text messages to stay up to date. Bev from Madison says, Phil, my daddy's recipe for lunch, a flour tortilla with mayonnaise or Miracle Whip. It's tangy sweet. Miracle Whip and mayonnaise, two different things now, nope. Y'all. Let's be clear. But flour tortilla with mayonnaise or Miracle Whip with peanut butter and avocado. I have no idea what it tastes like. Daddy could never get my sister and I to try it. Wow. Wow, Bev, listen, it's your daddy, so I'm just not going to say much. I'm gonna leave that hanging right there.
I got stuck on the Miracle Whip because I don't think that's mayonnaise.
It's not.
Whip. When me and my wife were dating, I saw that she had that in her fridge, and I almost stopped dating her. I'm not a Miracle Whip person.
So the mother of your children was almost not in your life anymore because she had Miracle Whip in the refrigerator.
True story.
Wow. Okay. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, do illegal aliens afford the same rights as citizens under the Constitution? Do they have the right to keep and bear arms? That's a debate right now, brother. Because there is a provision of the U.S. Code that puts them in a different category when they are here illegally. And yet a recent federal district court judge decision said that they had the right to bear arms, which seems to preempt the question of the interpretation being put upon that by the U.S. Code's provisions. So, Jeff, I got to tell you, I got to do more legal research on this one. John from Huntsville says, by the way, I agree with Phil on the topic of the watermelon. Please do not salt your watermelon, because in my book, that's wasting a perfectly good melon. There you have it. Thomas from Athens, I'm going to come back to that one. And Jeff from Athens says, a quick and easy way to make peanut butter, banana, and mayo sandwiches is to put all three ingredients on a hot dog bun. Yes, I would agree with that now. Leave off the mayo. I like to call them banana dogs. I put them on a hot dog bun sometimes. Peanut butter. Just drop a whole banana in there. Just drop it in there like a sausage.
He used to do that.
And just call it a banana dog. I'm pretty sure I'm the one who coined the phrase.
By the way, John, I'm definitely not trying the jelly and mayonnaise sandwich.
No, just don't do it. And then Allie Matheson says, I'm with Big Rig, Miracle Whip, and food. Either. No. All right. Listen, Thomas from Athens, getting back on topic. All right, we're on national insecurity. Thomas from Athens says, terrorists on the list intercepted our border. But do you trust our list to be complete? Do you think we can vet every possible entrant? How about the gotaways? If I were a terrorist, I would pay the extra money to get across the border unnoticed. There's no telling how many cells are ready and waiting for the word to execute the plan. Maybe just for November election would be an ideal time for multiple attacks to instill enough fear in many older, conservative, family-oriented voters to not go to the polls. Yeah, you know what, though? I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to be a bit surprised. Okay, mixed bag here. To answer your question, Thomas, I agree with you. If we know we caught some, how many did we not catch with the gotaways? And if we know we caught some that were on the terror watch list, how many came through that were not even on the terror watch list who came with terror on their minds? So, yes, I mean, in a grouping of 9 million people, there's going to be a chunk of them that don't like the United States and would wish to do it harm. And the fact is, we have a situation on our hands right now because we have a ton of people here that have not been vetted, many of whom did pay the extra money and get across in ways that, you know, that we couldn't have foreseen. There's been a lot of talk about what happens in Eagle Pass and El Paso and others was designed almost with a military strategy of being the diversion action while the real mission went on somewhere else. Tunnels, drones, and others, you know, getting people and drugs across. All right, listen, all that to say, we're in a spot right now where Mexico could do something. In fact, we know they can. Because when Trump was president, he made Mexico get on board. If you remember, we had the Remain in Mexico policy that says, hey, you're not going to just walk across the border and then claim asylum if you're already in Mexico. Go ahead and claim it. And oh, by the way, if you're on, you know, an asylum wait list, you're going to wait over there. We're not going to let you in, and you have to wait 4 or 5 years while you're in our country. If you couldn't claim it in one of the five countries you passed through on the way to get here, then you must not really need asylum. So we had Remain in Mexico. Then we had the Mexican Border Patrol that was doing its job far more prolifically than it is now. And we seem to have a level of cooperation that we don't have now. Now what we have in our state of national insecurity is a Mexican government that is actually making demands of the United States. The Mexicans are making demands of us. President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, which they call AMLO, A-M-L-O. That's what they just call him AMLO because it's easier than saying his whole convoluted name. Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, AMLO, the president of Mexico. He explained that basically Mexico is going to continue to give the United States the runaround on everything from mass illegal immigration to the facilitations of drug cartels coming into America through the southern border to the importation of literally tons of fentanyl. Story on the Daily Wire. I'm also looking at a piece from 60 Minutes. It says the president of Mexico's proposal for stemming immigration includes, get this, he'll help us. That's what he's saying. We might help you, Americans. We might help you if you'll do these things. Oh, pray tell, what are these things? Well, he wants $20 billion a year being paid to poor Latin countries in Latin America and the Caribbean. Oh, he also wants us to lift sanctions on Venezuela. Oh, he also wants us to end the Cuban embargo. Oh, he also wants us to legalize all law-abiding Mexicans currently living in the U.S. That came from 60 Minutes. That's not the interpretation of Daily Wire or another conservative media outlet. That's 60 Minutes summarizing their interview with the president of Mexico, who has the audacity to tell the United, has the actual gall to tell the United States that we need to go ahead and legalize all law-abiding Mexicans who are living in the U.S. Well, I got news. If they're law-abiding, that means they didn't come here illegally, right? Because surely you don't mean the people who just waded across the Rio Grande in the Cuban embargo? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you set foreign policy for us with other nations. Lift sanctions on Venezuela? So you're with the totalitarian state of Venezuela now. Awesome, Mexico. You must not really want those trade agreements that we have with you. And you want us to spend $20 billion of our money each year on other Latin American. What he's doing is he's setting himself up here to be the strong man of Central South America. That's what's happening.
Sounds like a bribe.
It's a bribe, but it's also a demand. Mm-hmm. He's got no room for this. And I'm going to tell you right now, Trump comes into office, that goes away. But because we have Biden, we're looking at this piece of the Daily Wire saying Mexico eviscerated cooperation to a bare minimum because President Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador's administration has been unwilling and uninterested in mounting any serious law enforcement policies toward Mexican criminal groups. Because the drug cartels run Mexico. They do. They're flying. They're actually flying right now, and it's gotten to be quite a hazard and quite prolific. They're flying Mexican drug cartel drones above U.S. territory. They literally fly drugs across the border by drone and drop it off, just like Amazon delivers packages. Obrador was asked if the DEA was wrong when it said that drug cartels are mass-producing fentanyl and our State Department was wrong saying that fentanyl was coming out of Mexico. He answers that, yes, the DEA and the State Department were indeed wrong. Hmm. They don't have all the information, he said. Hmm. He's lying. He was also asked, what would happen if the U.S. closed the border? Well, you would not be able to buy inexpensive cars anymore. You'd have to pay $10,000 to $15,000 more for a car because there's factories in Mexico. So what he's saying is, it wouldn't hurt Mexico? Really? It wouldn't? If we shut down production? Really? How about this? We've got more leverage than he thinks. But right now, Biden won't use it. So I want to know, what's the Biden administration going to say about our neighbor to the south, who he just did some kind of trade agreement with last year? What does the Biden administration say about our neighbor to the south, who's literally holding us up at the point of a gun? That's what he's doing. He's saying, oh, you want help with the millions coming across your border? Wink, wink, nod, nod. You spend $20 million in Latin America, I'll take care of you. Ah, take it back. Add the sanctions of Venezuela. While you're at it, go ahead and end that Cuban embargo you've had on since the 60s. And hey, I don't want my citizens back, so how about you go ahead and legalize them to live up there? It'll be awesome. Screw him, Mexico. I got news. I am, and listen, it takes a while for me to get to this point because I'm a firm believer in having strong and affirmative but yet positive diplomacy. But in the projection of world power, you have to go with the acronym DIME, D-I-M-E. That's diplomacy and information or intelligence, the military, and economics. And if he thinks for a second that the Biden administration that doesn't know how to employ DIME in its full capacity, if he thinks for a second that's what's going to happen when we change the sheriff out come November, he's got a new think coming. Because at that point, you're going to have a diplomatic overture that's going to read him a new version of the law. And then he's going to have to make a decision because we're going to gather up the intel and we're going to know where the drug cartels are. And then he's going to have to consider whether or not we may finally decide that if that many Americans are going to die because of something coming across his border, being manufactured on his soil, we may just have to go ahead and, oh, I don't know, like I said, put a Tomahawk cruise missile right smack in the middle of a drug lab. And then, oh, by the way, economic, that's that E in the end of DIME, economic, he may have to consider what it means to actually have the border shut down to his own ability to run a country. Mexico. National insecurity. We'll take a break right now. I'll come right back and I'll wrap this up. I got to talk a little bit about what just happened with Israel because our national insecurity is somewhat based upon how we treat our allies. And we're not treating them very well. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so I'm looking at finishing up this section here on national insecurity, and the text messages are going kind of crazy, and I think half of them are related to peanut butter and banana mayonnaise sandwiches. But anyway, let me finish this up. National insecurity. First of all, within our hemisphere, there's Haiti. Don't forget that. Haiti. Haiti's a mess. Haiti is a friggin' mess. And I don't mean like a little bit. Like, we have Americans, they're trapped down there, but they have finally, the State Department finally got shamed into doing something about it and began helicoptering people across the border into the Dominican Republic, trying to get them out. It's a mess. And it's about to be a failed state if it's not already a failed state. And we don't want to send in the United States military again. It's like we do that every like 10 years or something in Haiti. But it's an absolute sign of weakness that Biden, though, is relying upon Kenya to figure it out for us. It's our hemisphere, but he's relying on Kenya to try and figure this out for us. Even though the inadequacy of his plans are, you know, currently being laid bare, according to an article here from Fox News, Biden is exerting pressure on the Congress to actually fund them. So we're going to go ahead and send $40 million down to Haiti, where they can't even keep law and order in the streets. Keep in mind that what happens when you have a failed state in your hemisphere is it becomes a launching pad for bad guys. Look at what's happening in Mexico. Now, granted, Mexico has a contiguous border with us, but look at what's happening in Mexico. Mexico is close to being a failed state in some portions of the country. Look at what happened in Somalia. Look what happened in Afghanistan. When we see a failed state, you have to recognize it becomes a power vacuum. Somebody will fill it, usually not the kind that we would want in our backyard, Haiti. And then there's the Middle East. And y'all, something happened this week that just, I don't think it's getting near enough attention. It caused a little spark of stories the day it happened. But I pulled this piece off of yesterday's run from CNN. CNN points out that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu decided to cancel his delegation's meeting in D.C. No fooling. What does that mean? Well, on the political diplomatic stage, that's a huge affront. Why would they do this? I thought we were allies. Well, they thought we were allies, too, until the Biden administration just chose not to help them out at all at the United Nations. So the United Nations, in one of their farcical moments where they pass resolutions that literally are just like virtue signaling and posturing, the United Nations was considering, the United Nations Security Council was considering a resolution that would call for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. You know, that war that the Gazans, the Hamas started, that caused Israel to have to go, you know, that place where they still have hundreds of hostages being held? You know, that place where they launched the October 7th attacks that killed and raped and pillaged and beheaded its way across parts of Israel? That one. Well, we're sitting here looking right now at Israel thinking, surely our big friend in the West, the United States, is going to exercise its permanent veto power on the United Nations Security Council and stop that thing from passing. Stop that that resolution, which can't effectively do anything. It's more symbolic than anything else. But it also signals to the world that the United States has decided not to fully have Israel's back. When the United States abstains from the vote, they could have called for the vote to be carried over. They could have called for the vote to be tabled. They could have called for the vote to be vetoed, exercising the sole veto power that we hold on the UN Security Council. But we didn't do it. We didn't do it because our ambassador to the UN was under orders from President Joe Biden to abstain from the vote and allow the resolution to go forward. Why? In some form of, I guess, applying pressure to Israel? Well, Israel made it very clear. Well, we were coming to meet with you, President Biden. We were coming to meet with you. We had a delegation trip planned for next week to meet with you to understand your concerns about our war against our enemies. And Netanyahu has now canceled the trip. In the world of diplomatic speak, that's like being slapped in the face. And that's a huge, hairy deal. And our national insecurity is not made more secure by having our allies in various places of the world feel like we don't have their back and they don't know what to think about us and even cancel their trips to come and see us. National insecurity. Folks, I'm telling you right now, keep your heads on a swivel. Be alert at all times. Have your plans in place. Make sure you guys know how to contact your loved ones if they are not nearby and something happens. What are your contingencies? Do you have the ability to gather up, to be alert, to take decisive action as needed? If you don't, you should. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, I got to tell you, if you are listening to the show and you hear the ads playing during the break, just know this. Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves. And what that basically means is, like any other business, we have to have the sources of revenue it takes to keep this mission afloat, right? Well, part of the way we do that is through advertising. Think about it. If you're out there listening right now and you are a Right Side ruffian and you have, you know, goods or services of your own to sell, you got to know you're listening to a show where they say there's well over 30,000 listeners weekly between our various stations across North Alabama. That's a whole captive audience of Right Side ruffians that might prefer to buy from another ruffian. So if you want to advertise on Right Side, you don't call the station to do it. You contact us directly. You do that by going to rightsideradio.org. That's our website, rightsideradio.org. Click on advertising and contact. Send us a message. Lauren from Right Side will get back with you right away. She would love to talk to you about how to get on the team. Advertise at Right Side Radio. Go to rightsideradio.org. Send us a message. I got a bunch of text messages. Text lines are open, man. I'm telling you, text it or call it. We got two things going on. So far, we talked about national insecurity and peanut butter and banana sandwiches. So let me see what kind of mixed bag I got over here in the text lines. People still giving you the recipes, man? I saw you reading some during
a little bit. Yeah, there's some Nutella and peanut butter. It sounds pretty good.
Is that the one that Monty from Huntsville sent you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Monty from Huntsville's like all about it. It says, discovered the improved Elvis sandwich, lightly toasted. Two slices of bread with peanut butter and Nutella slathered heavily. Slathered. If you're slathering, that means you're really putting it on.
Oh, yeah.
Slathering is
Southern
like,
term.
Oh, man. Slice the banana long ways, always. Always slice it long ways. And arrange on one slice of toast and then add bacon on the banana. Oh, my gosh. And cover the other slice with a slice of toast. Serve with a big old glass of milk. It's heaven. Eat it standing over the sink. It's messy. Then he says, the diet version is make it open-faced, just one slice of toast. You slather both the peanut butter and Nutella on the single toast, even messier. Yum. My gosh.
Perfect.
All right, I'm not going to lie now. That just reminded me. So I don't know about y'all, but the occasional Saturday morning breakfast for me, I mean, Charlene usually makes me a big Saturday morning breakfast, which is just a blessing. It's part of being married to the lovely Charlene, because I'm usually eating on the go, something light most weekdays. Saturday morning's a big breakfast. But occasionally when I fix my own, it's going to be Eggo waffles with peanut butter and banana and syrup. I'm not lying.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
It's actually really
good. The only thing I would change about that is make it a blueberry Eggo waffle.
Ooh, a blueberry. But you got to use the thick Eggos.
Mm-hmm.
Not the little thin, no. Like Frisbee ones.
No.
No.
Not the crepes or whatever they are.
No, I don't, none of that. It's got to be the thick ones.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got here? John from Harvest says, a peanut butter and mayo sandwich is a nice late night snack my wife agrees with. She thinks it's weird. Brian from Decatur says, I'm not really sure why everybody attacks Biden about his policies like it's going to make a difference. He's doing exactly what he wants to do. He doesn't care about how much proof's in place in his face other than for political reasons. It's really not worth mentioning. It's not going to change anything that his administration has already planned out. Well, Brian, I'm less fatalistic. I think, first of all, if you see it, you say it. And if you see it and it's wrong, you point it out, because otherwise they just keep on getting by. And no one ever calls him on the carpet. Part of having freedom of speech means actually speaking. So yeah, I'm saying point it out, make them work for it. And if they're going to run roughshod over you, let it be while you're standing up. Jeff from Town Creek says, hey, Phil, a lot of people don't realize this, but Mexico is ranked number 12 in the world for gross domestic product. They are not a third world country like most Americans believe. However, Mexico's biggest trading partner is the big brother to the north. If we pull the plug on buying Mexican products, which would hurt for a little while, Mexico would probably drop down to be number 70 or 80 on the economic scale, and that would devastate their economy, and they certainly would have an uprising. It'd be Pancho Villa and Emmanuel Zapata all over again. Yeah, Jeff, I'm not denying that they are a major gross domestic product company, and they're definitely ranked. I understand that. There are also whole sections of the country that are completely under the hand of the cartels, where they find mass graves and where the people are abused and forced into drug slavery, and you can't say that they are a country that runs on principles and care for others like the United States allegedly does. And I agree with you, though. The biggest partner they have is us to the north. And I say we shut them down hard. Shut them down hard with the ability to open it back up if we need to. But shut them down hard and make them feel the pain of what they've been putting us through under the Biden administration. Marcus from Huntsville says, it's a long one. He says, it sounds like El Presidente doesn't think Biden will be in office much longer. He wants to try and get what he can while he still can. First week in office, Trump needs to completely shut down the border for about 90 days. See, that's what I'm saying. Shut it down to let everybody on both sides understand what it means for the border to actually be closed. Then he needs to strategically take out the leaders of some cartels. And Marcus, I like the way you think.
He's right on par with what you were just saying.
I just finished saying pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
He said, not only will this significantly help our southern borders, it'll send a crisp, clear message to our enemies around the globe that Trump is back, that America's back. How about that? Tom from Gurley, I wonder if there's a connection between all the sleeper cells coming across the border and the interruptions in communications, internet, and cell phone outages and transportation issues. Yeah, watch out for what I would call testbed issues or feints, or for that matter, just practice runs. Be aware. TL from Huntsville says, oh no, it was fear of COVID that allowed the mail-in ballot debacle. Might be the fear of public places and threats of attacks that create the next mail-in ballot chaos. We got to keep our head on a swivel, brother, and stay in the fight. Jerry from Decatur, when this nation shows weakness at the top, we're weak. Airborne, Jerry. Thank you for your service. Finish this up. Tim from Hoover says, this is more the Obama-Biden waves of disrespect to Israel and Netanyahu. Indeed. And then Dave, where are you from? Dave says, we're living in a failed nation. Started with stolen elections, not just the presidency, the entire Congress. There's no justice, no liberty and freedom. The effects are getting progressively worse. All right, I do not agree with the no part, but I do agree it has been degraded. How about that? So thanks, Dave, and tell us where you're from. Devin from Brownsboro says, not sure if sending drugs in by drones would work in Alabama. We got too many rednecks with shotguns. Well, like they don't down in Texas. I'm saying get her done, boys. And then lastly, somebody who sends in right now, just a phone number, tell us who you are and where you're from. So speaking of Southern people, my daddy was as Southern as you get, and he put pepper on his cantaloupe. And by the way, salt on his watermelon and mayonnaise on his banana sandwiches, none of which I do. Oh, by the way, you don't put mayonnaise or Miracle Whip on a tortilla. My mother is full-blooded Spanish. That's called sour cream.
That's good.
What an awesome audience. All right, listen, we're going to be switching gears now. And I'm going to start after this next top of the next break. With a section I call the War on Women. The War on Women is real, y'all. It just is. And the War on Women is happening on a daily basis. And what's crazy is it's not just social contagion, which it is. It's also official governmental policy. It is. The War on Women, yeah, it's real. It's unfortunate, and it needs to stop. All right, listen, before we go to the break, I got to tell you guys, too, in case you hadn't already figured it out, the podcast is going crazy right now. You're seeing like over 500 downloads a day now, you said?
Yeah, over, yesterday was at 300 and about 326,
I think. And today we're looking at close to 500, you said?
Yeah.
If you're not familiar, you guys, the show, every single day, we finish up the live show, and then Big Rig takes it. And he cuts it up into manageable slices, but he also has the full size, removes all the commercials, cleans up the audio, posts it out there in podcast form. You can get it on everywhere. All God's children can get it.
You can get it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah. Rumble, we have it on Rumble too.
Rumble, yeah.
YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can also, by the way, find it on our website, rightsideradio.org. But yeah, that podcast is going crazy. And we expect to have an announcement about additional podcasting content coming up in the near future. But for right now, let's take the break, Big Rig. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I'll use this moment to gather up a few more notes and to finish getting ready for the War on Women. Y'all, it's big doings. And we cannot sit idly by on this. It's got to stop. Luckily, I think it's finally starting to wear thin. Like, maybe they overstayed their welcome. We'll see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.